Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone, and congratulations, you are back with District Baseball, episode 20-ish, something, high 20s, low 20s, mid 20s, I don't know.
I have not been keeping a number on these.
Somewhere in there, you are back with District Baseball, jam-packed episode for you today, as we have a lot to cover as we roll into June, and we're almost, crazy enough, almost at the halfway point of the MLB season. But first, Trey, what's going on?
Man, why do you have to say that? It's going way too fast.
It is.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, we're gonna start making all-star picks soon.
We got a few weeks, but it's getting close. Like, we're at the, I think, 65-ish game mark.
Yeah. And we got the college baseball playoffs have also begun. That's a good time. A lot going on for baseball right now. Yep. And I'm excited to get into it today. But I think first we'll go into a 3-up, 3-down recap. All right. Hey, Siri. Jose Siri had a big week this week. There was a funny clip of the A's announcer kind of getting roasted.
There you go.
There's my phone
guest appearance from Siri.
That's actually hilarious. All right, but anyways, Jose Siri had a crazy weekend. He robbed a homer in the ninth inning to basically save a game for them.
He robbed Randy Arozarena from robbing a homer too.
Yes, he did. That's true. He did do that. He had a two homer game that resulted in a Rays victory. And today he had the go-ahead single that ended up resulting in a win. So big weekend for Jose Siri. And he also, funnily enough, made me lose money as well. So that's the down part of this.
We call that the trifecta.
Yeah, the perfect storm. But then we got to talk about the White Sox again for our first down. I think I'm thinking about just kind of leaving a space open for them every week, because
so it's like 3-up, 3 White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just gonna be they're gonna have to occupy a space, because they're just, I mean, I feel like it's beating a dead horse a little bit, but they're so bad, and they've now gone on a 10-game losing streak, and I don't know if they won today. I'm assuming
The Tommy Pham thing today.
I might have missed a Tommy Pham thing today.
Did you not see the Tommy Pham? Oh my god. I don't know what exactly led to.
Was it an ejection or some crazy stuff?
So Tommy Pham got thrown out at home by like a mile, but the way he was like running into home was like very on the inner part of the baseline. Like, typically you would think play at home, he's going to try to go around the catcher. So he gets thrown out by a mile inside of the baseline and like doesn't truck the catcher, but like I think it was William Contreras, like, you know,
gave him a bump.
Not exactly a love tap either. There was some force. I don't think he was ejected, but both Contreras and the Brewers pitcher were, I think it might have been Freddie Peralta, you know, had some words. And then Tommy Pham basically after the game was like, you know, I'm not about that. Like, I'll throw hands. Basically just saying he'll fight anyone.
Yeah, that's Tommy Pham. Yeah.
The White Sox announcer said something along the lines of, I don't care how many L's we're going to take this year. Like, we're not taking that from the Brewers. Something like that. It was just a very big hoopla. So I thought for sure.
I can't believe I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean it just happened. So yeah, you might have.
That's hilarious. It. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, well, that's actually kind of cool because I like Tommy Pham's. Like, yeah. Tommy Pham's just like so blunt and doesn't care. I don't know. I kind of like it.
I mean, he smacked a teammate in the face over fantasy football. Yeah. Like, there's no one I like more in the entirety of MLB history than Tommy Pham.
Just pure entertainment. Anyways, yeah, I might have to leave an opening for the White Sox in this segment every week because they're just so bad. But yeah, I guess 11 game losing streak now.
Yeah.
But back to the good. Our second up is Matt Vierling, who has had a big week. Four homers, including a two homer game. I think that was this week. It might have been. That was the beginning.
It was early in the week
against
the
Blue Jays. Crazy, crazy game. 11-4 final, and he hit the walk off. As he'd already hit a homer in that game, he hit the walk off as well. 3-run bomb off Jordan Romano, who unfortunately actually went on the injured list. So hopefully he can get healthy soon for them. But then we are talking about another pitcher for our second down. Sixto Sanchez. This is an interesting situation. He actually had a pretty decent outing. And then Skip Schumacher kind of came into the press conference and threw him under the bus a little bit, calling him lucky. Said he was very fortunate to have that good of an outing. And upon doing a little bit more research, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect in that locker room between the coaching staff and Sixto Sanchez that maybe has been brewing for a while now, because he's had a very bizarre situation since he made his debut in the league. He came in 20, he had a really good 2020 season, and then some injuries happened, but then you kind of didn't hear about him for a while, like almost like he was off the radar. Now he's back this year. He's been pretty not great, but he had a decent outing. But I just found it funny that Skip Schumacher basically was like, yeah, I mean, he had a good outing if you believe in luck. So I don't know. It's just kind of crazy to hear a manager do that to their player. So there's definitely something going on there between the players and the coaches. I don't know if it's all the players or if it's just him, but there's something going on, some kind of animosity in the Marlins locker room, in the clubhouse right now. So something to keep an eye on in terms of, you know, Skip Schumacher's future as the Marlins manager. You know, I'm not pinning their entire bad start on him or anything, but it doesn't look great when you have things like this happening. What does look great though were the Brewers, and again, this was against the White Sox, so I almost didn't even put this in, but I couldn't even, you can't not talk about a 23 hit game. So the Brewers had a 23 hit game as a team in only 8 innings, by the way. They didn't even have to use the ninth to get all 23 of those hits. Christian Yelich had a 5 hit game in that process. And yeah, again, that was against the White Sox. So does it even really count? Yeah, it still counts. So we've got to give the Brewers their props there. And then finally, our third down. Nobody wanted to win the Pirates and Blue Jays game the other night. It went 14 innings and only 8 total runs were scored in 14 innings. And that is with an extra runner for 4 of those innings in each half inning. So that's just like some kind of ineptitude to not be able to score more than 8 runs and with the current rules. And they only had, like, I think it was maybe a 2-2 game going into extras, 1-1, something crazy low. Both offenses just really struggling. It was like, you know, there was a lot of traffic on the bases during this too, and they just wouldn't finish it off until the 14th inning. Finally, Davis Schneider hit a walk-off homer and the Blue Jays won. Speaking of the Blue Jays, we will be doing a separate video about them because they are a disaster. Anyways, that was 3 up, 3 down. Anything specific you'd like to discuss from that, Nick?
I mean, a lot. the White Sox thing, I mainly focus on that just because we had that conversation a couple weeks ago. It's like, are they going to be the worst team in history? I like wanted to say yes. I ultimately said no. And then they started winning a couple of games. And now it just feels like we're at that point again. We're in June now. We're at that point where teams are kind of starting to show you who they are. You know, that first month, 6 week stretch out of the gate, you know, some teams are really hot and then they cool off and vice versa. Some teams start really slow and then really start to ramp up. And then somewhere in the mid June area, like things really start to settle, kind of the races start to develop, the, you know, certainly the MVP and Cy Young and award races start to develop. So with the White Sox in particular, they're just bad. They're just really, really bad. So I think we've got to be on watch. You would think, you know, at the deadline, they're going to try to trade anything that isn't nailed to the floor because, you know, they're just not good, right? So the guys that could contribute to a not historic losing season, like your Luis Robert and, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, like Eric Fetty, like you would think they're going to be on the move if they get a decent offer. Because the White Sox timeline is like another 7 years from now. Like it's just,
there is one,
right? If there is one. So
yeah,
it's going to be a long rebuild there.
I think at some point we had asked ourselves if this team would get to 50 wins. And I'm pretty sure we said no. And I think I'm sticking with that. I don't know how this team I think they have 15.
Actually more than I thought. So
yeah, but that was, you know, that was with a little win streak in there. Like
true.
They went like 6-3 at some point during that stretch, and they're still like 14-45 or something. 15-45.
I was gonna say they're like 15-50 right now.
Yeah, it's bad. it's really bad. So I'm still sticking with the sub 50 wins.
Yeah. The other part, very similar conversation, is just the Marlins. I mean, certainly it's not a good look when your manager kind of just throws you under the bus like that, but this is like an organizational problem because, you know, you can go back as far as you want, really, but I'll go back as far as basically forcing arguably a top five GM from her role, like, because you wanted her to take a pay cut. Like you didn't.
I still don't even get it.
Yeah, they're like, there wasn't an extension talk. They literally approached her after, honestly, a fluke playoff season, but like a playoff season nonetheless. Like doing a lot with nothing, and making the playoffs, and then approaching her and taking a pay cut. Like what? And I mean, you can go back as far as you want with the Marlins list of transgressions, but it just extended into the player or the guy, the team itself. I just
the whole culture around the team is different than it was last year. I feel like
Like last year it felt like they were still competitive and they were just a young team, and I think a lot of it just had to do with the pitching,
and they had energy though. That's the thing,
their entire pitching staff is hurt right now. You know, that certainly doesn't help. Who was it that just went on the IL again this week? Was it Eduardo Cabrera?
I didn't see anything from unless Lizardo went back on the injured list.
I thought, I could be wrong, but anyways, the vibes are not good down in Miami. It's crazy to think they actually bought at the deadline last year. Again, that's Kim Ng's, you know, leadership, but it's crazy to see these teams. I think of, I guess the Reds are kind of on the way back up, but like that 2020 season, people forget, like the Reds, they were like going all in. You know, they had Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray, and yes, I know, but like at the time, Trevor Bauer, like they were going all in, and they had a 60 game window and immediately sold the next offseason. Like it was just, it's just funny to me, this arbitrary amount of time and effort that these teams will put into like, quote unquote, go for it. And then as soon as it doesn't work, just rip the Band-Aid off and just like, oh, well, we tried. Like it kind of feels like what the Marlins did.
You were right. They placed a pitcher on the injured list. It was Sixto Sanchez.
Oh,
today.
Really?
They did that today. unless you were thinking of a different one.
No, I'm gonna claim I was right. yeah,
yeah, so that was today. I missed
more
that.
Pitchers. Yeah, so little nuts there. Miami's just, again, we're at the point where teams start to show you who they are. We're at that point, you know, in the list of years. Like, if we go back, you know, in 3-4 years from now, we go back to this moment, we're like, oh yeah, the Marlins 2023 playoff run was just such a fluke.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, at least in terms of the trade deadline, they have a lot more interesting pieces than the White Sox.
Oh, for sure.
There's going to be some teams jumping at the bit to get, you know, a guy like Brian De La Cruz, who has been just on the verge of busting out for years. And
you think
can't.
Jazz might get traded?
I honestly,
I wouldn't put it past him.
I want it to happen. I don't know if it will, but like, get him on a team that's good, please. Like, I want to see him.
He fits the Padres vibe so much.
I could totally see it.
Yeah.
I could, you know what?
I mean, they already made one trade. So
why not? I mean, just go steal from the Marlins.
Yeah, honestly.
And it's working out for them big time, by the way. They're in a playoff spot right now, and Arraez is hitting like 400 for them.
Yeah, but so, they lost Darvish and Musgrove to injuries.
Injuries. It's always the year of the freaking injury.
Always injuries.
Jeez, it's hard to keep up.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to some of the main topics we want to talk about. And the first one, Trey, I'll let you take this. The Chicago Cubs are not what we thought they were? Question mark? Exclamation point?
I mean, definitely not what I thought they were. I was expecting a lot better from this team.
So was I. And that's it's almost like slightly disappointing.
I'm definitely disappointed, especially with the way that they played this month. They're in a very winnable division. They have a roster that should be good enough to win it.
Yeah.
And they're just not quite performing yet. Still time. This is not a division that is completely unwinnable because the Brewers are, you know, they have a decent lead, but I think that we both agree that the Brewers have played above their weight so far.
I still don't believe in them.
Yeah, I'm thinking they might be decent, but I don't think they're as good as their winning percentage is right now. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a step back at some point during the season. Although it hasn't really happened yet. It has happened to this Cubs team, though. They have lost 15 of their last 20 games. It was a really bad month of May for the offense. They were 27th in runs scored. That's not going to get it done. And their bullpen was a big problem. Even when they did have leads, they seemed to blow them. They had a 4.56 bullpen ERA in May. That's ninth worst, which isn't, you know, terrible, but it seemed like the timing was really bad for their meltdowns. And this month, they just could not have those shutdown innings when they really needed it. And their big free agent signing last year, Dansby Swanson, who really played pretty damn well for them last year, has really gotten off to a slow start. I think he had a homer yesterday or today. So maybe that can get him going, but they really need him to start hitting because the rest of the team hasn't really hit either. Bellinger has had a better looking month of May, but it's still, they still need more. They just need more from this offense. The pitching staff has done better than the offense, but it's still not looking great. Their starting rotation has been pretty damn solid though. So if they can get this offense going again, like they had the offense going in April. I think they'll bounce back from this a little bit, but I am a little bit concerned with this bullpen. I thought they were going to be better than this. And it's really causing them to lose some winnable games here.
It takes you back to the offseason where I even predicted that they were going to sign Shohei. And I'm not saying like signing Shohei would have made this completely different, but we certainly thought they were going to be a lot more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say they didn't do anything. They brought back Bellinger, albeit at the very last moment. And they signed Minanga, who's, you know, arguably the Cy Young, let alone Rookie of the Year. But yeah, 30-year-old Rookie of the Year.
yeah, I know. That's
but
so crazy.
We just thought they would be more aggressive, you know, with their history. Yes, they don't have like hundreds of World Series championships, but just with their long history, you would think, you know, a Chicago-based team, I'm talking like more media market, they would go for it. And it was kind of just like, oh, we'll make some moves to appease fans, but we won't actually.
Yeah, it was more like moves
fill the
to
holes mainly. Yeah. Like they didn't really get noticeably better in the offseason. They brought Bellinger back, which, yeah, important, but like Bellinger was there last year. So inherently, you're not getting better from 2023. And they missed the playoffs, what, but like a game? So, mm-hmm. like, you're not getting better. Imanaga certainly helps, but like, you know, we know the variance from year to year with every single player across baseball. So, it's like you would think if you miss the playoffs by a game, you would want to build yourself a cushion. So you're not just getting one game better, you're getting 10 games better. Like, in if you could, and it just seems like they kind of did a whole lot of not nothing, but eh.
Bellinger kind of just fell into their laps too, because no one decided that they wanted to sign him for whatever reason.
Right.
I mean, I know that there was concerns about
plenty
his,
of reason, but
there was concerns about his, you know, previous bad seasons. I was surprised that he wasn't getting anything, though, just because, I don't know. He's having a decent year,
A separate conversation. I think there was like a full-on, I'll call it a coup. I think there's a full-on coup against Boris. I think the owners kind of froze out Boris clients. That's just my opinion of it. And it could be Boris being a little too arrogant, sure. But,
well, yeah, I mean, I think both sides suck.
Yeah,
that's my conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I root for no one.
All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
October in May
could be. I don't
all
know.
Right, we got the Rockies. This is our third topic. This is they had a good month. And it's funny. I actually looked back at their last winning month because I figured it would have been like 5 years ago. It was actually last year in May. So I don't know. Maybe there's something in May in Colorado that helps this Rockies team figure it out. But they did really well this month. They had better pitching. That was a big deal for them. They had good pitching at home and an 8-4 record at Coors. It's always good to win at home. Obviously, they have a bigger home field advantage than others slightly. Obviously, we don't believe in the Coors effect as much as others. But they had some also really good position player action. And that came from Ryan McMahon, who has been really good all year, but also Ezekiel Tovar. Mm-hmm. Who we have been kind of discussing off and on throughout
my breakout
this season. Well, I think you're hitting on that one right now, because this dude's 22 and he's playing in Coors. So naturally your stats are going to get just kind of by default docked in terms of the overall, you know, league wide stats, just because of the stigma of Coors. And yet he's still maintaining a 110 plus WRC plus most times. And his defense is ridiculous. Like, this dude is going to be one of the next great defenders in this league. And the Rockies have him locked up for a very long time at age 22. So that seems like a slam dunk signing right now. And my final fun stat for you here about the Rockies, they had a better record than the Atlanta Braves in May. 14-13 to the Braves. Jeez. 13-14, which the Braves, by the way, did not play well this month, especially offensively. And losing Acuna doesn't help that very, very much. But they really struggled offensively versus the Nats when we played them this week. So
yep.
That was just really noticeable. They're not scoring runs near anywhere. I mean, obviously, matching last year would be pretty tough, but I figured they'd be kind of close. But they're not.
Olsen's down.
Yeah, everybody
compared to last year.
Yeah, besides Murphy. Besides, I'm not even going to talk about him.
Oh yeah, I didn't know where you're going. Then I got you.
Rockies did pretty good. It's nice for their fans to have some good play for once.
And what's funny is they are still tied for the fewest wins in the NL.
Yeah. But they have now probably broken out of the conversation for worst team in baseball this year, which now, of course, goes to our White Sox officially.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. You know, the Marlins are also down there too, but I'm pretty sure the White Sox are going to end up worse. So there's at least something going on with the Rockies. And, forgot to mention Cal Quantrill has actually pitched pretty well for them after he was either traded or they picked him up off waivers from Cleveland. I don't remember what happened. I think they put him, they might have put him on waivers and then traded him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty sure that's what happened. But he's had a pretty solid start to his Rockies career with a sub-4 ERA. If you have a sub-4 ERA as a Rockies pitcher, I mean, that's good. As far as I'm concerned,
I mean, honestly, if you've had that in baseball, you're going to get paid $20 million a year.
Yeah, if you can put that up consistently for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. But especially in Coors. So good stuff for the Rockies.
It's not all bad.
I like when, you know, every team around the league has some good stretches. It's just nice for their fans latch onto something. The fans in Colorado have been beat down pretty badly with this front office.
Yeah. All right. Let's pivot from one of the worst teams in baseball to two of the best. We're going to talk about both the Yankees and Phillies, and not just the hot starts they've gotten off to, but kind of do a little bit of a deeper dive into what has made these teams so good. So far. With the Phillies in particular, they're playing right now as we're recording. If they win tonight, they'll be 42-18, and it's the best 60 game stretch to start a season in franchise history. So it's not just, you know, oh yeah, they're a good season. This is like a franchise setting pace. Yep. And the one thing
with a long history of for that franchise, by the way.
Right. Yeah. So I want to talk about the Phillies first. And I guess the Yankees sort of fall into this category too, because the Phillies are just notoriously slow starters. Like the past 4-ish years, maybe 3, like they'll start slow, sneak into the playoffs. And then once playoffs hit, then they go for a run. Right. But this is kind of a new Phillies thing where they're actually playing really well from the jump, like arguably the best team in baseball. I don't think if someone said, hey, the Phillies are the best team in baseball right now, there's not really much of a counter argument. You could argue the Yankees, certainly the Dodgers are still worth a conversation, but the Phillies are doing it all. And that's really what's impressive. They're pitching. We kind of know with Nola, Wheeler, Suarez, but even, you know, their bullpen and kind of the back end of the rotation has been great.
Sanchez, bro.
Right. Yeah. We talked about him. They're fifth in baseball in opponents batting average. They're second in baseball in ERA. They are first in baseball in strikeouts and strikeouts per nine. Like their pitching staff is legit. But it's the offense, which, again, it's not like they have a bunch of no-name players on offense, but it's just finally all clicking at the same time. Mm-hmm. They're tied for fifth in baseball in average. But the thing that really gets me, and I'll tie in the Yankees into this conversation too, is the Yankees, obviously, very similar, but their offense, you know, especially with Juan Soto, just made all difference in what yard today. I sorely miss him. but both the Yankees and Phillies, despite hitting a ton of home runs and just hitting for power and just average, they're also walking a lot too. The Yankees lead baseball in walks and the Phillies are third. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I bring this up not to like say this is the secret sauce, but more so these teams are playing without many weaknesses. They're getting the good starting pitching. They're getting the, you know, at least the good enough bullpen. And then their offenses are rolling in every facet, whether it be the long ball or just the small ball, working walks, getting on base, things like that. So for those that might want to like say, oh, it's early, they'll slow down. I don't think they will. And with the Phillies in particular, they're also stealing bags, which we've seen more teams do. Obviously, we're Nats fans. We've seen the Nationals kind of utilize the stolen base as their primary offensive weapon in terms of scoring runs. The Phillies are hitting home runs, stealing bags, obviously working the count. Like they're just doing it all on offense, doing it all on, you know, on the other side of the ball, pitching. And with the Yankees, it's just like they're playing kind of how you would expect a prototypical Yankees team to play. It's a lot of power. That they lead the league in home runs, but their pitching is really kind of the story, because we weren't sure what their pitching staff was going to be like with Gerrit Cole out. And it's one of the better rotations we've seen in the Yankees have in the past like decade, honestly.
Yeah, and that's without Gerrit Cole still. He is
right.
Still yet to make an appearance this year. And that is really the big thing with the Yankees. And I feel like that's why that they've found the success is I expected them to have a good rotation. You know, I figured Stroman would give them innings.
Oh. I just assume like every Yankees pitching sign. This is not like a player thing. It's just if a pitcher signs with the Yankees, I just assume they're going to implode just because for whatever reason. But anyways, continue.
Yeah. So I expect them to have a solid rotation. I obviously wasn't ready for this. I expected Stroman to be a good innings eater for them and to be able to have a manageable ERA, but he's had a sub 3 ERA to start the year, and he's back to his old ground ball ways. Luis Gil is probably the best story so far for them. He mm-hmm. kind of wasn't, I don't even think he was going to make this rotation if Gerrit Cole was healthy, which probably is crazy not. To think about, because he might be one of the best pitchers in baseball. 63 innings pitched, 11 Ks per nine, ridiculous. Doesn't allow the long ball and has managed a 1.99 ERA on the season so far. His one real issue is the walk, but I think that with his stuff and his ability to limit the homer, that has been manageable. Now, I don't know if a 1.99 ERA is going to be sustainable, but they don't need that from him. They need him to be, you know, a solid fifth option. And right now he's like an ace. So
yep.
I think that they're going to take that. And then Nestor Cortez, he had a little bit of a slow start, but he's really found it in May, had a great month. And probably the worst, if you can even say that, has been Rodon, but he's been pretty damn good. I mean, he's maybe not quite as dominant as he was pre-injury.
They don't need him to be.
They don't need him to be that. And he's been able to put up the innings. That's kind of what I was worried about for him. But he's been, you know, pretty solid. I think he's averaging, you know, just under 6 innings a start.
He also has a 3.09 ERA with a 1.13 whip. It's not like we're talking like, oh, yeah. he's
I know, that's the worst. Fine.
Yeah, but like, that's the worst.
That's the worst in this rotation right now. And yeah, their bullpen is also pretty insane. Clay Holmes, excuse me.
Lassie name.
Clark Schmidt is in the rotation. He's been really good too. But Clay Holmes has been an elite closer this year for them. And yeah, just everything's going right. But I think the biggest deal is the duo for the Yankees. I mean, you saw it this weekend against the Giants. I think that Soto and Judge probably won the series by themselves. Like, if we're being honest, like, Soto had 2 homers today, including the go-ahead in the ninth. Judge had a 2-homer game. And both of those games were won on the backs of those performances. And there is no scarier middle of the order than right there. I guess Soto hit second. So I don't know if you want to call it middle of the order, but that those
1-2 punch.
So at least one of them is going to get on base. One of them's probably going to get a hit. One of them's probably going to homer. I mean, the way that it's been going, I mean, they were both top 5 players this month in F4. Judge was far and away the best player this month. It wasn't even close. Like, the numbers are just silly. He slugged 950 in May. Slugged. That's not OPS, slug. That's just insane to me. And how fast that he can basically go from, you know, Yankees fans saying, oh, here comes the decline, to, yeah, he's back to the best player on the planet. as for the Phillies, they've had a much more balanced effort offensively. I feel like Harper's been great. Alec Bohm has been really good. Bryson Stott's been really good. Rio Muto's been solid. And Schwarber's also been solid. I mean, it's just a really solid group on offense. Sosa has also stepped up for them in a limited capacity and been able to wait, Sosa. Oh yeah. I'm always mixing Sosa and Rojas
For the Phillies. Edwin Sosa.
Sosa has been great from the plate. Rojas has been great in the field. So that's helped maintain their defense is probably their weakest link still, but it's not nearly as bad as it was, you know, because obviously you lose Kyle Schwarber from your outfield and you're probably going to get better.
Yeah.
But yeah, but works. I really don't know which team I'd pick. I think I'd probably lean Yankees just because they are getting Gerrit Cole back at some point. But then again, the Phillies have been doing this without Trey Turner.
I would take the Phillies in a heartbeat.
Trey Turner has not played during this crazy stretch. He was having a fantastic start to the season before his hamstring injury. This would be, you know, it would kind of be an annoying matchup, but an entertaining matchup in the World Series in terms of the players. Not maybe not in terms of the fans. Oh,
it's the MLB's wet dream to have these two teams match up.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was getting at. And I was like, it would be entertaining, but at the same time, you know, it's not my favorite matchup, but it's happened before in a 15-year anniversary of that World Series. So how about that? Maybe.
Yeah, how about that?
Maybe we will see it again. But both teams have been excellent, and both teams, I think, are the only teams with 40 wins so far.
Yep. Correct.
I believe that Baltimore's close.
Baltimore's at 37. Cleveland's at 39.
Mm.
They're the next closest. Dodgers are at 38.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I think I lean Yankees. Why would you lean Phillies?
Been there, done that. You know, a lot of the Yankees thing, like, they haven't been to a World Series in 15 years. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not in the business of handing out participation trophies for just, you know, winning a pennant is still a thing, right? So I'm not trying to take that away, but, you know, you got to win one for that pennant to mean a little bit more or to be a little bit more special. But the Yankees haven't even gotten there. Not one single team with all the talent they've had in the past decade plus has even gotten to the World Series. A lot of losses in the ALCS. And if you want to bring in the Astros cheating scandal, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, the Phillies have at least done that with, you know, they've had the talent. It feels like this year they have the depth. And yeah, I think that's true. The difference. Like, the Phillies have gotten to the World Series just on their talent alone. And now they have the depth to support, you know, a 7-game series in crunch time. And obviously, you know, a strong first half of the year where they haven't had that before. So now they have momentum early and they're not just trying to scramble and build it late. So, yeah, I'm definitely team Phillies right now in terms of who I think is the favorite early. Yeah, obviously,
did that burn your tongue having to say that out loud?
Honestly, no. I used to hate the Phillies, but they have so many of my favorite players now. It's just
they like, are it is, fun, it is, man. It is what it is. It's like the players are fun. All right.
Let's PHU.
Players only. I'm not talking about the fans or the coaching or the organization or any of that. Okay.
I thought that was a good one.
That's the only I missed it.
I said PHUN fun.
There you go. you can be converted already.
Shirt. Yeah, make the shirt.
But yeah, no, I'm excited to see these teams in the playoffs because yeah, I think that these are the two most complete teams in baseball.
For sure. All right, let's pivot to another fun topic and let's make fun of the Mets because the Mets are an absolute dumpster fire. It's just music to my ears, joy to my life. That being said, I do feel slightly bad for Jorge Lopez. His words were definitely taken out of context.
Yes.
Or not taken out of context, but misconstrued. English is not his first language. And so he kind of mumbled a little bit. People thought he said, this is the worst effing team ever. He was saying, I'm probably the worst effing teammate ever.
Yeah.
But the mate was a little
but the first
there.
Version is so much funnier, Nick.
It is. Let's just go with that one. If he's calling out the Mets, it's hilarious. They DFA'd him like immediately after the game. For those that don't know, he tossed his glove into the crowd and
he sealed his fate as soon as he might have been done as soon as he got ejected because he's not had a good year. And I
know
it was such a bizarre situation because the call was like I think the call went his way. Like, they called him out on the swing, and he started, like, yelling before the call was even made. It was very bizarre. But the glove throw, basically, you can't do it. You can't throw things into the crowd. That's a no-no. No matter who you are, you're probably going to lose your job if you do that. So
yeah, but then it didn't stop there. They optioned Brett Beatty and why am I forgetting
Christian Scott? Reason?
Yes, they optioned them both to AAA, which, you know,
I think it was more for roster reasons. I feel like at least for Scott, you're going to see Scott again in like a week.
Sure, but still, Beatty, I mean, the kind of quote unquote reasoning. I always forget their manager's name.
Mendoza.
Yeah, he was basically just like,
I'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah, he was basically just like, I don't know how to phrase it. He's just kind of like, F them, like, they got to earn it. Like, we're, you know, trying to like light a fire under his team's ass, but it just wasn't really working.
Yeah. Last thing about him, he let a lefty face Ketel Marte today in the ninth inning.
And
Ketel Marte, and it's not like everyone knows this, that Ketel Marte is crushing lefties this year. And he's not even really hitting that great left-handed. As a righty, though, he's doing everything right. So why would you leave a lefty in to face him there? It blows my mind. I don't really understand the guy. It's a tough job, but he hasn't done a very good job of it yet.
Not at all. So we just had to squeak in a little Mets laughter here at the end. I'm sure I just can't wait to see what this week has in store. So let's make sure we all keep an eye on the Mets so we can laugh real time at their misery and misfortune. Cool. All right. That does it for this episode of District Baseball. We'll be back next week covering all the latest happenings and, of course, whatever the Mets end up messing up as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB, Trey at Reverse2R2S, myself with Coach Moose. Follow us on TikTok, YouTube, subscribe, like, comment, review, all that good stuff. Trey, appreciate it, my friend. We will be back next week. And in the meantime, let's go baseball.
Let's go baseball.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.